I want you to text. I'm going to preach something you heard a lot of times before. I'm not going to apologize for it at all. In fact, I'm going to show you a man who did the same thing. He preached many, many things. People already knew about it, but he didn't apologize a bit. He had a passion for it, and I have a passion too. I'm going to use for a text Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word is quickened to me. That word quickened there means revive. And God's word revives us lots of times. And so this sermon, you know, God can call a sermon to start in a lot of different places. This was started in the shower, of all places. I've been memorizing, re-memorizing, and so the last two showers I've taken, I have just had a ball. I don't hear a ball the way to say it. That's probably not a very good word. I had just a glory time, just floating away. Yeah, the Lord made the scripture real to me and revived my soul. For this is my comfort. My affliction and my word have quickened me. I want you to pray for me and pray for everybody that we don't get tired of studying God's word. The Lord doesn't want, the devil doesn't want to study God's word. And so we all, I'm kind of preaching to the choir tonight anyway. And I hope that you really do have a great regard for God's word. But I hope that you'll have even a greater regard and God quickened it to us. I want to just mention several individuals I've thought about that the word of God never got old to them. And right now I've got one preacher of mine that the word of God did get old to him. I'm not going to tell you who it was, one of my favorite preachers. He's dead now. And he's a good preacher, even at the very end, but he could have been a lot better. But I talked to people who were close to him. He just kind of quit studying and just started kind of coasting. He was such a good preacher. He had studied preaching for many years. He just kind of coast. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to coast at all. I want to be studying harder than I ever have. And I hope you will also. A good example was Brother Hassel Wallace. I've told you about him many times. Brother Hassel, well, he got where he couldn't even speak publicly because his voice was so messed up. But I go down to his house, and it's amazing. He never quit studying the Bible. He'd have a table laid out with books and Bibles. And I think I took Isaac and Justin down there to see him. He kind of preached a charge to them a little bit in an office because his voice was so rapid. We knew he could not preach a charge publicly. So he loved the Word of God to the end. The Apostle Paul, you might remember, in 2 Timothy, the last letter he wrote, he's in the Mamertine prison, fixing to die a martyr's death. And he said, bring me the books, but especially the parchments. And that the parchments were the Word of God. The books were, I guess, books about the Word of God. He would, if he studied, even though he's in prison, knowing he's going to fix to die, he wanted to be in God's Word. And now think about some sisters, some women, Boise, I told you this before too, but I just love the story of Boise David, who is Sister Patty's mother. She got liver cancer, and she was dying. Everybody knew she would be here too long. But she had cataract operation. And somebody said, Boise, what in the world are you getting those cataracts taken off? That's an unpleasant thing to do. Here you are. No, you don't be here long. She said, listen, I'll be able to read God's word till I die. And that always inspired me. And my mother-in-law is an inspiration to me, too. She is always studying, always running references. When we have Bible readings at the home, she always wants to be there. In fact, I got kind of amused a little bit. She got mad at Judy the other night, Wednesday night. Judy did not wake her up for our prayer meeting. And she really got on Judy. She said, Mama, I didn't know what to do. She said, you had hay sleep all day. That's the best sleep you're having. She said, I don't care if she'll wake me up for that prayer meeting. So she had a thirst for prayer and for the Word of God. Also, while I'm at it, I want to mention Daniel Crone. I love Daniel Crone. He's a buddy of ours. And he had never seen anything with his eyes, but he's constantly in God's Word. If you ever had a conversation with Daniel, he knows the Bible well, but I know he hears a lot of it. He also read his fingers. 18 volumes, right, Daniel? 18 volume Braille Bible. He's reading that Bible with his fingers constantly. So I want to encourage you to be in God's Word. Now, I'm going to go to quite a few places. I'm going to let the Bible preach for itself. And I hope that you will do something about this, be in the Word of God even more than you have been. And, you know, we need renewals, like the word is quickly. We need renewals, don't we? We get some kind of dull in our Bible reading. Sometimes we got to make ourselves read the Bible. Sometimes it's a joy to us. But it's a constant fight. The devil wants to keep us away from the Word of God. And you kids know I'm always on y'all. Memorize the Word of God. Read the Word of God. That's one of the emphases of my ministry. I hope I'm glad it has been. Pointing people to the Word of God. One more thing I'll say about the Word of God. All the preachers who come up under me, one thing I require of them is to write a synopsis of every book of the Bible. So one time, these young preachers got to do some real good preaching. And I was kind of puzzled. I said, where are they getting that? I said, oh, they're getting out of the Bible. I made them read the Bible, and they've been reading the Bible, and they're reading it prayerfully, and they're getting messages from the Word of God. So I want to encourage you to be in God's Word. Now, here's why I'm not apologizing preaching on this subject. Go with me to 2 Peter. This is an amazing text here. It's wonderful that we get the Word of God. Absolutely wonderful we get the Word of God. It's a great gift God's given us. One time over in Arkansas, where Andrew pastored, he went pastoring then, of course, I preached several sermons on the inspiration, canonization, and preservation of the Word of God. My friend, it's a wonderful thing we got in our language, the Word of God. God inspired the Word of God. He got it to be canonized. That is, the books we have, these 66 books, as a subject in itself, preserved the Word of God and gave us people to translate it. It's a wonderful thing to have the Word of God. So let's go to 2 Peter and show you why I don't apologize for this subject at all. And I hope God brings your heart with force. I'm going to start in verse 12. Now, this is the last book. This is his last word and testament. And I'm also going to read something Paul said. It's amazing. The last word and testament, both of them, are pointing people to the Word of God. I'll read an excerpt in a minute from 2 Timothy, which you could probably quote. I know you can quote it. But I'm going to go to Peter first. Peter wanted God's people to put great importance on the Word of God as his last word to them. I hope after I'm gone, you'll be in God's Word. Don't you be in God's Word while I'm here and be in God's Word when I'm gone. That's what Peter wanted desperately, as we read here from 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, be established in the present truth. You know what I'm talking about? You're even established in it. But I'm going to keep on doing it anyway. That's how I feel. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yeah, I think it neat or appropriate, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, he meant his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's what I want to do, even tonight, stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Peter was fixing to die a martyr's death, and God has given him some premonition of that. So I love verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now I'm going to read those verses again to show you the incredible importance Peter placed on the Word of God, and then begin to read it so to show you why he placed that importance. This is really good. I'm going to read those verses again to show you the amazing importance he placed on the Word of God, and then we begin at verse 16 to show you why he placed such importance on the Word of God. Okay? Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yeah, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Then the next word is for, a connecting word, for. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, or our eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now he's talking about what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration here. He's going to make a great point. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when I bring you the Word of God. When we have made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, or our eyewitnesses of his majesty, that Peter, James, and John, up on that Mount of Transfiguration. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. That is, Jesus Christ received from God the Father honor and glory. But came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. They heard God the Father say that out of that cloud overshadowed them. Remember that? And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the Holy Mount. Let's stop there a minute. That's an amazing scene. Amazing. We can't imagine what that was like. It affected Peter and John and James the rest of their lives. In fact, I didn't quote the verse today. From 1 John 1:5, I think Peter had that in mind. There's no darkness in hell whatsoever. That's exactly what I think John had in mind. I talked about light this morning. And that's a key verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. In him is light. There's no darkness at all. He saw the light, Jesus Christ's glory there. And he mentioned that. And John also said, we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They never got over that. That's amazing to see. What happened there on the Mount of Transfiguration was, the Lord temporarily revealed some of his glory in an amazing saying. Wouldn't you like to have been there? It would have been great. Now, I'm going to read you an astounding statement. I believe it because it's in the Bible. You think about that. We were not there on the Mount of Transfiguration. We did not hear the voice come from heaven. The literal voice of God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So, therefore, look what he said in verse 19. Do you believe this? Ask God to help you believe this. If we can believe this, it will transform us. We have also, get this, a more sure word of prophecy. Isn't that amazing? We have in this Bible, folks, a more sure word of prophecy of what Peter, James, and John witnessed on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's all. If that wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. I have a hard time believing it anyway, but I do believe it. Isn't that amazing? We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereby you do well and you take heed, and it's a light, like I preached this morning, that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day start rising in your heart. I'm going to keep going. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture had any private interpretation. That means that no man just came up with it on his own. But holy men of God spake, and are moved by the Holy Ghost. Now that's astounding how you get to read to you. I won't read it again. That's astounding. I've brought you to love the Word of God and place importance to the Word of God because what we have in our hands with the Word of God is more sure than if we had been on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's astounding, isn't it? Let's read it again. Beginning of verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereby you do well that you take heed. Well, we certainly need to take heed to the Word of God, don't we? And it's a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn, the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scripture, it of any private interpretation, but holy men of God's faith, they're moved by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? So that's the premier Scripture, plus the one I'm fixing to read you from 2 Timothy on the inspiration of Scripture. When people talk about the inspiration of Scriptures, they go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. But you know where I'm going. I know you know where I'm going. Paul also, this is his last word and testament to Timothy and to us. That was Peter's last word and testament. Placed amazing emphasis on the Word of God. And Paul's going to say the same thing. Let's begin in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 15 instead of verse 16. That for a child, that means an infant. That's what the Greek word means. And we know the story of Timothy because we can piece the Bible together. His grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, no doubt taught him the Scriptures when he was a baby. So I'm always encouraging you parents, if you've got little bitty kids, drill the Word of God into them. I love it sometime when Timothy will call me on Facebook. One of his boys will quote me some Scripture. Boy, I like it. Y'all keep, the girls will keep doing that. I like it that these kids are learning how to quote Scripture. Continue to do that. Continue to emphasize that with them. I love these Thursday night Bible studies that we have on Zoom right now, these kids, when they're memorizing the Word of God, put it in their hearts and minds. You cannot imagine what a valuable thing that is. I'm glad we did it with our kids. I wish we had done more. Parents, listen to me. I wish we had done more. I'm glad everything you and I ever did, I wish we had done more. You have a short window of opportunity to be able to put the Word of God in your children's hearts. You can't put them in their heart, really, but you put in their mind, and God can put it in their hearts. I can't emphasize that too much. All right, look, that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, just like Peter said. God breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable. It works. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. I'd like to talk about that verse, but I won't. I just want to read it to you. I've got more verses I want to read. Isn't that glorious? It's all sufficient. What we need, my friend, a lot, is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. We can't emphasize it too much. Well, now, I've got some scriptures here I'm just going to read to you. And let's look at them. And I hope, and I'm not going to take a long time, so just pay good attention to me. Listen to me. I'm going to give you some scriptures. Hope you'll write some of them down. If you don't, I'll give you a list of them if you want to. And think about these scriptures. And let's be re-inspired to be in the Word of God. It's great when the Holy Ghost can bring the Word of God to you, isn't it? Like he did to me in the shower the last 2 days. I got 4 or 5 sermons out of the shower. Yeah, I'm going to go work on them. It's great, isn't it? One, you know what John, you remember what John Newton said that time I told you? See, John Newton had a whole series of sermons based on Handel's Messiah. And bless old Reggie Rose's heart, he put it on my sword circuit. I got to read some of those sermons. And one time Newton was talking about the Word of God, how important it is. And this is beautiful what he said. I'll paraphrase what he said. I wish I could say it just like he said it. Here's what John Newton said. He said, the Bible is a wonderful book. People who have the opportunity ought to master it. Of course, we know that's a relative term, master. Nobody goes totally master. He meant people who have the time, like a full-time minister, and maybe have a library, who have the opportunity ought to master the Word of God. But he said, everybody else ought to do what they can with it. That's the way he said fancier than that. He said, the Bible is a wonderful book. It's made up of 66 books. They're all wonderful books. Though they're made up of chapters, every one of those is a wonderful chapter. The chapter is made of verses, every verse is a wonderful verse. Then he said this, every clause in those verses is a wonderful clause. And God can take one clause and with the Holy Spirit make it real in your soul. You know he's done that with you. He's done it with me. Sometimes just the expression I get. Some expressions I've read thousands of times and this one expression just sticks out. So God can do that. So when you read the Bible, read it prayerfully. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I'm going to work on a sermon about that. I want God to open my eyes up. You know what I want God to do with me? I'm going to tell you what I want him to do. You remember that story in the Bible about the man who was blind and Jesus Christ healed him? And he said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. So he wasn't seeing very well, but he was seeing something. And God did another work on him. Now I see all things clearly. I've been saying, God, I believe my whole life I've probably just been seeing things as men as trees walking. I want to have my eyes opened up to be clear. You remember what Elisha prayed that time? When they were surrounded, dozens were surrounded by enemies. And the young man said, what are we going to do? And God said, open his eyes. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. He saw the horsemen and chariots of God. I want the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. I might know what the Holy Spirit is calling. The verse you quote, another thing there in Ephesians 1, which I won't go there right now. Let's look at the word, may the God stir us up. Let's look at four or five scriptures and I'll be through. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Now remember my theme verse, though, however, don't forget my theme verse. This is the one I want you to think about. I want to encourage you. Let me encourage you, verse first. Psalm 119, 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. Do you ever feel afflicted? This is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. Thy word hath revived me. And it will do that from time to time. I know you have that experience. I hope you have. I know many of you have. I wish you all had. Maybe you all will. That thy word hath quickened me. You kids, if that's never happened, I hope it'll happen to you. I hope someday you're ready and bingo. Idea. Wonderful thought. Warm my heart. If you ever happen, you'll be hooked on the Bible. You know that? You'll be hooked. The world has nothing to offer like that. Nothing to offer. No adventure book. No history book. And a bunch of all love history. We'll do that for you. But the Bible will. God wrote the Bible. Okay. So there again. This is my comfort and my affliction. Thy word has quickened me. Thy word has revived me. I hope it revived us on our deathbed. But also while we're alive. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 2. I'm just going to read these verses, and they're pretty obvious verses, and maybe say a few things about them. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That you may grow thereby. You can't grow without listening to God's word. I want us to all be growing. That ought to be the desire of every preacher, that the people under the sound of my voice are growing closer to God. You know what God gave me the other day? He gave me a thought. It's a beautiful thought. I want to share it with you. You know what you are? You know what Kiefer mentioned to me? Old Kiefer, I use him. I'll pick on him a little bit. Kiefer, you're a gold mine. We got a whole church full of gold mines. We got children of God filled with gold. And God wants me as a preacher to mine it to the glory of God Almighty. I'm going to bring all I can out of your life that you glorify God. You're all gold mine if you're born again. You have hearts filled with the Word of God. You're born again. You're a perpetual possession. We ought to appreciate and love each other. We got a whole church full of gold mines. But sometimes that gold is pretty deep in there. We got to dig it out. Let's dig the gold out of each other. You can even be a part of that. Iron sharpens iron. So man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Gold mines. Isn't that a great thought? Everybody got their own specific talents. It's amazing what an individual. A human being is a wonderful thing. But a born again human being is a double wonderful thing. We're all made in God's image. It's a tragedy when you have a death, like abortion or things like that. There's a brain, a brilliant brain. Maybe somebody could come up with some kind of miracle that they kill the kid, baby before he can even do it. Amazing. Well, I'll praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous for thy works, that my soul doeth right well. But when a person is born again, it's a veritable gold mine. If newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We all want to be growing. All right, let's go to another scripture. Job 23, 12. You've heard me on all these. Here, Job has had a hard time, real hard time. like you have sometimes, going through a dry season. Have you ever been through a dry season? Are you going through a spiritual dry season? I can't find him. I'm looking for him everywhere, but I can't find him. I just can't. You'll go through times like that, kids. I hate to tell you. You'll go through times like that. God sometimes will not let us see the smile of his face. He had a reason for that. I don't know what all his reasons are. Maybe to appreciate him more. But don't go into despair if you have a cold season. You're not the first one. Read our song book. The people who wrote our songs had dry seasons. Didn't they? Mysteries of joy and sorrow. Our daily pass through. But so what do we do in a dry season? Keeping the word of God. Keeping the word of God. Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back to the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth as more than my necessary food. I'm going to read that Bible. That's one reason I'm glad I'm married to a good Christian woman. First thing my wife does every morning, she's half asleep sometimes, she grabs that Bible right there beside the bed. I like that kind of a habit. Tonight, the Lord willing, before we go to sleep, I'll call her. We'll do our Bible reading together. She really helps me out. She's more regular than I am. So I got to kind of keep her happy. So I got to read the Word of God where I want to or not. I want to, but it makes it easier because she wants to, too. And she'll insist that I do that. She'll get upset if I don't. I'm glad. Marry a good Christian, boys, to keep you close to the Lord. All right. Look over to Psalm 1. First Psalm. What's the first Psalm about? God's Word. The whole Psalm. I'll just read one verse. Whole Psalm about God's Word. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. His delight in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. Go to sleep thinking about the Word of God. Wake up thinking about the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Be still and know that I'm God. We think we got to always have something turned on, a radio or something like that. You got to listen to some music all the time or something, or a lecture or something. Well, it's okay to listen to a little music. And maybe a lecture or two every now and then. But my friends, sometimes we need to be thinking about God Almighty. I love to read about the old brethren, how that they would always have these spiritual conversations. I want us to do that. We do some of that. I'd like to see even more here in Great Chapel. We get together, we talk about doctrine and things. What do you think about justification, Timothy? That'd be a good starter, wouldn't it? His delight is in the law of the Lord. That means the Bible. His day that he meditates day and night. One of my very favorite scriptures. Favorite. One of them. Colossians 3:16. Notice every word of this concentrated verse. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Isn't that a good verse? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It's not just going through one ear and out the other, is it? We're thinking about it. Isn't that a good verse? All right, a few more. Okay, Psalm 19. We'll read a few verses of Psalm 19. I won't preach on this right now, but some great sermon can be preached. It's going to talk about the sufficiency of God's Word. Beginning in verse 7, Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7. Don't get my theme now. This is my comfort and my affliction. Thy Word had quickened me. All right. Now, the Word of God described in six ways here in Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I'm just going to read it without commenting on it much. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the law are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. But he's not through yet. Then more to be desired of they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, valuable, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb, delightful. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and keeping of them there's great reward. There's a lot of value in keeping God's word. Isn't that beautiful? All right, now, let's make a comment about Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter of the Bible. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's got 176 verses. Every verse is talking about the Word of God. Do you think God is trying to tell us something? Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses, and every verse is talking about the Word of God. Charles Bridges wrote a commentary on Psalm 119. Get it sometime and read it. But read Psalm 119 first. The Lord better read it even. And then let's look at Ephesians 6:17. You know what? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus Christ, my friends, demonstrated the Word of God. Jesus Christ played great value on the Word of God Himself. He was God Almighty and the manifest of the flesh. He gives a contest with the devil in Matthew chapter 4. He quotes the Word of God, setting the example for us. So if we battle Satan, we got to use the Word of God. Isn't it beautiful? All right, that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to give you my verse again. I hope you'll believe this and live by this, precious friend, and get comfort from it. I want to comfort you. This is my comfort and my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. Thy word hath revived me.